Today on the show, we race the doomsday clock, we experience the bitter taste of betrayal, and we go undercover. Welcome back to Lore Party's special coverage of the Halo television series. On this limited run of the Lore Party podcast, we'll be providing in-depth recaps of each episode of the new Paramount Plus series based on the timeless sci-fi shooter franchise. As always, I'm Jaden.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Kevin.
And guys, we are one episode away from the epic finale. How are we feeling so far?
We're in the home stretch. I'm feeling hopeful. I liked this episode a lot and made me pretty excited for the finale. I have a feeling that the show will finish its first season on a strong note, but I guess we'll see. I've been saying I guess we'll see a lot for this show, but
that's been the name of the game.
I do have some optimism though at this point right now.
I we talked about this in the before we started recording, but Connor has been the optimistic one of the group, to say the least. I think I've been the most pessimistic.
Kevin's been riding the fence a little bit. I think you've been somewhat happy with it, somewhat displeased with it at times, I guess, different levels here and there.
Yeah, I kind of feel burnt out right now, to be honest. Like, I feel like it's not, again, the whole Uncanny Valley, like, analogy. Like, it's Halo, but it's not. It feels weird. Like, I'm there for, like, Halo, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, Halo, Master Chief, but it's not. It's, you know
what it is? I figured it out the other day. It's, the Halo franchise is a tall, refreshing glass of Coca-Cola, and this Halo show is, like, a diet version of one of the discount sodas your mom buys at Walmart and says it's just good enough, and you're like, I mean, I can see why some people really like this, but also, like, it just tastes a little different to me as someone who enjoys the cold, crisp, refreshing taste of Coca-Cola.
We are not sponsored, I swear.
No, wish we were.
Hey, just saying, don't sleep on Dr. Thunder, you know, the store brand Dr. Pepper. Like, oh, it's not bad. So if this...
I think my favorite one I saw was Mr. Cola. When I saw
it. Like RC, you know, Royal Crown.
Yeah.
But hey, like, it's not... hey, if this show is Mr. Yeah. I'm just saying, if this show is Dr. Thunder, I'm here for it. I'm okay with it. but yeah, we do want to, you know, talk about the second to last, I guess, penultimate episode of Halo on Paramount Plus, season one, episode 8, Allegiance. As usual, we're going to break down the recap, just sort of a, you know, point by point analysis of what happened in this episode, some of the major themes, some of the things we noticed, and then, as always, get into our observations, thoughts, opinions. But yeah, I just want to throw it out there really quick. If you have been watching Halo on Paramount Plus, then been following our takes on it, if you've been listening to our recap episodes and want to let us know what you think, do not hesitate to email us at lorepartypodcast@gmail.com anytime you want. Let us know if we've been kind of on the same base as you as far as what we think about it, or way off base. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. You can also get in touch with us on Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter at lore_party. And with all that said, let's get into the recap right after a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Okay, let's get right down to it. Episode 8, Allegiance. This was an interesting one. Just really quick reminder from last time, we kind of had a vision trip. We had an artifact-induced mind trip that was shared between John and McKee. They both went to the mysterious ring world. Like, they didn't physically go there, but their minds went there, if that makes sense. And so Allegiance, episode 8, picks up right after that. We kind of open on John and McKee, who are both just kind of staring into the mirror. Different mirrors. They're not next to each other in the same mirror. But they're both looking into a mirror, and they're both in deep thought about their shared experience of kind of envisioning Halo together. And, you know, if you remember, on this vision of Halo, they sort of lock eye. They locked eyes and they got close to each other, and it seemed like a tender moment, which I don't think either of them have really had very many of. So it was interesting. It was a big moment for both of them, and they're both obviously thinking a lot about it. John even traces a ring into the steam on his mirror, and McKee is kind of touching her face, almost like recalling the touch that John gave her in the vision. So they're both obviously thinking very hard about what they just went through together. And, you know, soon after that, John comes to McKee's quarters and brings her a new set of clothes and sort of escorts her out of the base. Like they're going somewhere together. They're going on a walk together. And they seem, after last episode, they seem to have this really strong newfound familiarity with each other, to say the least.
What a bunch of weirdos. After this, they go outside, and they're allowed to roam the parks and the public spaces outside the UNSC headquarters with, of course, a Marine escort. And Halsey, Aiden, and Cortana are all monitoring them, the whole pair of them. They're noticing that their vitals have not only improved significantly, but they're synced up, man. We're Pacific Rim now. Now they're synced up.
They're in the drift.
Yeah, they're in the drift. They're drift compatible. And so Halsey's kind of believes John is realizing something that she's always suspected of him, and that he's, quote, he is connected to something beyond all of us, end quote.
Spooky.
Okay. All right. Sure. We'll go with that.
In the park, they get to walk around and explore and bond. And John basically gets to kind of show Maki, like, hey, look, isn't this so nice? And she's kind of in her head, like, comparing it to where she grew up. And it's like, wow, this isn't a shithole. Like, humans get to live like this? This is kind of nice. Maybe these humans aren't as horrible as I thought they were. Yeah. You know? And Maki even mentions the book that she used to read with her friend. And explains that it's very similar to like the Covenant prophecy that she grew up to believe in with the Covenant. You know, that the worthy will be sent on a great journey, and when the ring is activated. And then he's like, "Well, that's cool, but like, what happens to people who aren't worthy?" And she's like, "Oh, they'll be cleansed." And he's like,
"Hold up,
okay, wait, what?
What does that mean?"
You also remember too. She notices the trees, and she says that this place has trees and there's grass and everything. And so for her, that's not something she's ever really experienced. And she sees this as like a Reach is like this utopian human society.
Yeah.
This is the good world, not the bad world.
Yeah. They get into this almost swapping stories, like really just basic getting to know you stuff. And, John is obviously sort of, uncomfortable at this mention of this great journey and what the ring could be used for if the Covenant activate it and all that stuff. And but he opens up a little bit too. He tries to relate to McKee with his childhood, but he doesn't remember much, obviously. A lot of it's blocked out. But he kind of tries to counter what she says, like, hey, you know, humans aren't all bad. I remember some good things about growing up. Like, you know, there were things that made me feel hope and and feel loved, things that were worth protecting.
And then he gets the guard's like, hey, chief, come over here real quick. And like when he walks away, the scariest thing that's ever happened to Maki ever, a dog barks at him or at her. It's like, oh, you live with aliens for 20 years and the dog scared you, huh? All right, fine. And that scares her so bad that she activates her little energy finger of death thing, which again, we've seen from other episodes of the UNSC has that like vast surveillance network. I don't know how that they didn't see that part. It's like this is like the third time where she's whipped out that dagger.
Yeah,
no one somehow
like
noticed.
The nurse saw it last time, didn't she? Like there was like a nurse in her room with her.
How did she not see it?
That's weird. Yeah, you could understand how she's on edge though. She's kind of in enemy territory.
Oh
right
yeah,
now,
she's in enemy
so
territory.
A loud noise that she wasn't expecting would startle her. But yeah, it's kind of hard. It's kind of like no one else sees
that. But again, she has the finger and doesn't point it at anyone. So thank goodness
she doesn't
for that.
Kill the dog with it, which I would have been very upset
no.
about. So glad that didn't happen.
That would have been
Well, they want the audience to like her. Remember, she's
I guess so.
We're supposed to feel sympathy. She murders that dog. No one's going to care. True.
So while this walk in the park is happening, this was pretty funny. Perrin Gosky's watching it, you know, from the drones or whatever. And she's just like balking at it. He's strolling around the park with her. Like he can't, she can't believe what she was doing and like kind of showing so much, you know, compassion and regard for a prisoner of war, basically, you know,
she's 100% right.
Oh, yeah. Totally. I mean, she's watching all this happen. Captain Keyes is right next to her. And so they're both kind of, you know, just watching from the sidelines as John and McKee, you know, share some peaceful time together. And I think Keyes understands that John is building trust with an intelligence asset. So he gets it. And Perrin Gosky just can't see past the, you know, she can't see past the idea of a super soldier wanting to walk through the park. You know, she mentions the 117 I used to know, like, would have torn her apart limb from limb until he got the answers he wanted. And, you know, it's, you know, she just says, oh, he's changed. And Keyes is just kind of staring longingly at John. And, the look on Captain Keyes' face here looks to me like a father watching his son grow up almost. I mean, like, it's like a bit of pride, yeah. A little bit of bittersweetness there, like I can't believe so much has happened. And he just kind of like mutters, yeah, he's changed. And Perrin Gosky picks up on his mood, and you know, she kind of pries and, you know, asks Keyes, oh, you don't think he suspects us, do you, of being involved in Halsey abducting him? It's kind of like what, you know, where she goes with it. And Keyes, obviously, you know, that's obviously, Perrin Gosky's right about that, because Keyes doesn't deny it, and he sort of shrugs. But he trusts that John will stay on task and not really dwell on the past that much. Keyes isn't too worried about John, you know, finding out about his involvement and blaming him, or at least he tries to convince himself that it's not that's not a concern. So
does he know that Chief tried to murder Halsey like 3 times now?
He might not know.
I don't think he knows.
Everything's fine. It's like, no, he's a bit unhinged, boss.
Then again, maybe his talk with Halsey in the last episode gave him the closure. Like maybe he is moving on. Maybe Keyes is right about that. Who knows?
Yeah. So after that, John is then summoned back to headquarters, where footage from the planet Criterion it's being reviewed. And the planet has fallen to a Covenant attack. Its defenses were breached. Its cities were literally just turned to molten slag. Population assumed, like, completely gone. It's glassed. It's gone. The planet is toast. Well, it's burnt toast. And so
someone ruined that toast.
The UNSC personnel, like, throughout the command center, they look in shock. They're in horror. They're crying, they're grieving, and then Keyes just kind of demands the feed to just be cut.
Yeah.
He's like, stop playing this, enough.
We've seen enough.
We can look at this only so long, and nothing's going to change. So he and Perrin Gosky argue that the merits of responding, because first Perrin Gosky's like, well, we should do something, and was it Perrin Gosky, right?
Yeah, Perrin Gosky wanted to like send the fleet there to respond, and
and Keyes is like, why? They're all dead. There's nothing to save. What's the point? We're just going to be sending people to die.
Yeah. What about the survivors? He's like, there's no survivors.
Do you think people would survive that? Probably not.
Not for long. Yeah.
Probably not.
So then all of a sudden, John chimes in and he shows up, and the fight he says the fight should be taken to the Covenant before it's too late. And he proposes using Maquis to find the second artifact, so it can then be recovered and then used against the Covenant, which he's very excitable about it. He's like, we can do it. We can trust her. And it's kind of like, Perrin Gosky and Keyes are obviously...
My new girlfriend is cool, guys. Come on, let her hang out with us.
Perrin Gosky and Keyes are definitely skeptical, but John is, you know, he's their kid, right? He's their, like, guys, come on. She's a good girl. Like, come on. Like, that's literally what... He convinces them that we as humanity can trust her. I don't know.
Yeah.
Clearly, John is mesmerized by his first love.
Yeah, I guess so.
So meanwhile, while this is going on, while John's pleading his case, Riz and Vanek are attempting to reverse engineer the Covenant Phantom that they captured. And they're also talking about Kai's condition. They're like, yeah, she's getting there, I think. which I love. This actually was, this is probably one of my favorite scenes in this episode.
Same here.
Just because it, like, she goes, I think she's okay. And then it cuts to her just getting cheered on by a crowd as she's lifting like 10 ton vehicles by herself. Yeah. And I'm like, that's fun. I mean, at one point she even lifts a warthog with people inside of it.
That was awesome.
And they're, and like all the soldiers are betting on whether or not she could do it. I actually legitimately, I was like, that's some Spartan stuff.
That
there,
was a really
man.
Fun scene. Like when she, she finishes like lifting the warthog and she just like throws it down. She's like, you got anything heavy? Like Kai's just having the fucking time of her life. It's awesome. She's really living it up.
Yeah. Which again, this is only possible because she took the chip out. Like she wouldn't do this before. Like this would be a waste of her valuable military time to be doing something like this.
I can't believe I'm saying this. So this is a Halo like show and Master Cheeks and the entourage of people we've already seen are not my favorite characters. Kai is my favorite character. She is so
Kai's great.
Badass.
I like her a lot. Yeah. And while Kai is just having fun, living it up, being a badass, showing off for the Marines, Miranda is in her lab, you know, the one she inherited from her mother, and she's struggling to crack the translation of an intercepted transmission from the Gladius, which is the UNSC warship that McKee attacked earlier on in the show. Miranda had mentioned this kind of transmission before, and it was, you know, she'd mentioned that, oh, hey, maybe McKee can help me, translate it and decrypt it and all that, and she's still working on it. You know, Captain Keyes shows up, her father shows up, and you know, she explains to him, like, it's close. I'm almost there, but there's some sort of weird variable I can't seem to figure out. It's like a speech impediment almost, or a dialect that I haven't seen before. So, yeah, there's something weird about... I think we as the audience, we all know who the speaker is and why it's throwing off Miranda's attempts to translate, which we'll get to later. But, you know, as her father, as a, you know, good dad, he's, you know, just kind of pats her on the shoulder and urges her to keep trying. You know, if anyone can figure it out, it's you, he says to her. Really nice little moment.
Yeah. He's happy. Lovely. It's nice to see a dad being just happy.
Yeah.
About, you know, about
being proud.
Yeah.
Not being horrible.
Like he's actually treating her like his kid for once and not a soldier.
Yeah. It's always nice to see.
Okay, so this is where it gets a little bit rated, rated R there.
This
like
takes
that.
A turn.
This was spoiled for me by the internet before I even got to watch.
Same
the
here.
Damn episode.
Same here. No one could keep it quiet.
Yeah, any kids out there? Yeah, you know, just fast forward through this part. This might not be your thing. I can't believe I have to be the one to do this. Okay. Alone in their quarters, Maki mutters in Sinhili, apparently conflicted about what they're going to have to do. You know, like, so John dismisses, he shows up and he tells the guard to GTFO. And the guard's like, no, I'm here to guard this and he's like, get out. And so... he's like, fine, okay.
By the way, you guys have no idea how scared I was. They were going to call him Johnson. I was so worried. I was going to be like, come on, guys. Don't do that.
So John dismisses Maki's guards and informs Maki that she'll be allowed to use the artifact to find its twin. And then he also gives her a copy of the book that she mentioned, which clearly, you know, moves her. It's a nice little gift. They're going steady.
Yeah,
and they lock eyes, and Master Cheeks start clapping. that's what I got for.
I was gonna go more subtle. I was gonna say, why was Neil Diamond suddenly playing?
Hold
in
on, okay, this scene was way more tasteful than you were making it sound.
Yes, it was. There was no banjo music. It was tasteful music.
They get pretty intimate, and they start showing a particular interest in each other's scars, which is We don't kink shame here. That's cool. And the next morning...
just exploring each other.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. There's the, you know...
yeah.
I don't think either one of them have actually, like, experienced another person in general, like, the human body.
Mutual virginity going on. Yeah.
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 So the next morning... I would say the next morning, but kind of maybe a couple hours later, because there's a two-time skip. Maki wakes up and is laying next to John. And that finger, that little sword that, you know, we've seen so many times is right up against John's neck.
Yeah.
And we're about to see John get killed, you know? Yeah. And all of a sudden, it doesn't happen. And Maki goes to the sink and tears their takes the fingernail and just rips it off, man.
Yeah,
like
that's brutal.
Like, that was pretty gory, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
That was great.
Was,
no, I loved it.
It kinda, I don't know. I was sitting there watching it like, why would you do that? That's a great weapon to have on your person just in case.
Yeah.
But maybe there's a tracker. Maybe there's something that, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Which kind of seems weird because if there was a tracker, then they would know where Reach was and like that would be a whole thing. So yeah. I don't know why you'd take that out. I think it would be a really cool advantage.
I think it had more to do with she just didn't want to be tempted to use it on John. She's kind of like removing that option, like kind of.
I took it as she was symbolically removing the covenant from her life.
That could be it too, yeah.
She was trying to like turn a new leaf.
Well, there's a lot of blood. That's all I'm going to say. There's a shit ton of
blood.
There
was a lot.
And
yeah.
I don't understand how it wasn't like just, you know, you would just keep bleeding. Like that's like it didn't just rip the fingernail off. It was like longer than the nail. Like it was in there.
It was a lot of nerve endings. And
yeah.
Was bad.
And then also like right away, they go back to bed. And then John wakes up, and it's weird. I don't know if it happened in the morning or whatever, but it's sometime in the night. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so my favorite part about this whole thing, and I think the thing that everyone is talking about on the internet, is that, yes, John and Maki had sex, but that's not the weird part. The weird part is that Cortana is sitting there watching the entire time.
Yeah.
She is staring at them with her big blue eyes.
Yep.
And she has a look that's like horror and also curiosity.
It's hard to describe the look on her face.
Yeah, it was like some of them argue where it's like she's horrified but also weirdly into it. And I was like, I don't like either one of those descriptions.
It was like curiosity to me. It was like amazement and just like, wow, I can't believe this is happening.
She's like, ooh, so that's how you do that. Interesting.
Hold on a second. She is, this Cortana is technically in John's brain, which means she kind of John and like
I don't
kinda,
like this
or at least she can like tap into everything that's going on in his body if that like
I don't like this
I
didn't think of that at all and
I didn't think of that at all either.
Kevin, I hate you for making me realize that. I'm really not happy. Jesus Christ. Okay, well that's nightmare fuel. Moving on.
Moving on from that part, so basically Cortana then immediately runs and tells mom, sorry, Halsey, and she goes, you know, she's like, oh my God, this happened. I witnessed two humans have sex. By the way, did you know it could do that? I didn't know it could move like that. And Halsey goes, no, it's fine. You know, John's no longer alone in the galaxy.
Which is, that is messed up, man, because he wasn't. Cortana's with him. That's what really got me too in that comment.
What I took from that was, you know, Cortana comments like, yeah, he's not alone anymore. I think she knows that what that means is Maki is someone like him, like someone connected to the artifact, someone who grew up feeling different, feeling isolated. So like, I know what she meant by that, but what was really funny to me was Halsey's response. Like Cortana says, John's not alone anymore. And Halsey kind of seems offended by that. Like she just, what do you mean? He was never alone. John had me. Cortana was so fucking funny. Halsey said he had me. And Cortana's like just quiet and just, yeah, she says, of course.
Right.
Sure.
Sure.
I loved that part.
Oh, that's so funny. And right after this, Keyes actually goes to Halsey and tells her that she's got to leave. She's got to leave. She got to get off world by noon. Otherwise, he won't be like she's going to be in big trouble. And he also tells her, like, hey, your ship is fueled and ready to go. And Halsey, she's doing her usual, just her, you know, being a bit of a brat, you know, being a bit of a jerk. I don't need to go and all that stuff. And Keyes finally just goes to just he vents to her. He's like, he's frustrated that he's been her lackey, her, you know, errand boy for such a long time.
Yeah. He goes insky on her, just like, I've been keeping your secrets for you and, you know, covering for you.
Yeah, I've been literally hiding your bodies for you.
Yeah, and yeah, like, I love this confrontation between the two of them. And, you know, he kind of points out to Halsey, like, you know, you're so obsessed with, you know, with this idea of progress, and it's cost you every relationship you've ever had, like, you know. I think he doesn't say it, but I think he means himself a little bit right there, like whatever relationship they had.
Totally. And his and their daughter.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And like he says, your only child. And you know, he's kind of like, you know, pointing out all these sacrifices, and Halsey just comes back at him like, every sacrifice is worth it. I would sacrifice everything for what I believe in. And she's adamant about it.
And she then proves it, because the second he leaves, little creepy Aiden walks out and goes, by the way, remember that thing that we were working on a couple episodes back? Uh-huh. It's actually a scanner. So it's a retinal scanner copy of Miranda's identity.
Yeah.
So now she has all of Miranda Keyes' access codes.
Yep.
Remember that little heartfelt tea ceremony that they had together? Yeah, it was a freaking trap.
Yep.
Because of course it is.
Yep.
Dude, Aiden is so creepy.
Yes. Yeah.
Kudos to that actor, man. He's doing a real good job.
No, yeah, he's weirding me out very well. Natasha McElhone is making me hate her as Halsey very well, and Aiden's actor, I think his name's Ryan McParland or something like that, is making me weirded out as Aiden. So they're both killing it. But yeah, no, Halsey, has newly restored system access. She can basically, has Miranda's high-level credentials, and Halsey uses that access to contact McKee. McKee's in her quarters, and Halsey just shows up in her little projector screen thing, which is scary as hell. Imagine you're just chilling out in your room, and Dr. Halsey shows up, and you can't, do anything about it.
You can't leave, you can't escape.
Yeah. And she, contacts McKee and tries to sort of appeal to her through their shared concern for John's well-being. You know, it's like, hi, McKee, I'm Dr. Halsey. I know you care about John. I care about John, too. We both want to look out for him. So here's what you should do. You should convince John to bring the artifact to me, and the three of us can leave together and keep the artifact out of the hands of the UNSC, who we both know can't be trusted with this power. And so her pitch to McKee basically is, you two must be the ones to control the Halo, .. with my help. Of course, Halsey inserts herself into this dynamic. Like, oh, you need me. Like, you, me, and John, we should control the Halo, not the Covenant, not the UNSC, just us. And it's like this whole big sales pitch to McKee, but McKee sees right through it. Like, she knows Halsey's kind of playing a game here, doing a ruse here, and she just shuts her down. Like, no, like, you just want the power too. You're just like, you're just like the prophets back on High Charity. You're just like the humans who tortured me half my life. You can't be trusted with the Halo more than anyone else. So she kind of shuts him down, and obviously Halsey is disappointed in this. She kind of does this little soliloquy, this lamentation of, this propensity for attachment is such a weakness in the human brain. And Cortana just sort of pretends to agree. it's pretty funny.
Cortana's kind of like under the impression now, I think, that Halsey is like, okay, like rolling eyes, like, all right, this.
Yeah, starting to not be on Halsey's side all the way at this point.
And the guard comes in too and is like, who are you talking to? And then like just looks around and then like does this weird NPC like walk out of the room. Like
like an idle animation.
Yeah, it really, because like it felt like he walks in, he yells at her, and then it sounds like he turns her sneak on, and then he just turns around and just walks out like awkwardly.
Yeah.
So after the gamble with Maki fails, Halsey then decides to activate her backup plan, a secret like back channel to the Spartans of Silver Team called the Zed Protocol. Yep. So Riz, Vanek, and...
Which we've seen her do that before. We've seen her do this before when Chief Episode went 1. Rogue
yeah.
the first time.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so Riz, Vanek, and Kai are ordered to ignore any and all other instructions and they're sent to retrieve John, Maki, and the artifact. And they're told that John can no longer be trusted. He's going to be taken out of action by Cortana, to which Kai objects vehemently. Like, Kai is like, wait a minute, hold on here. They get dressed, they get their armor on and all that stuff, and then so Kai keeps saying, hey, this isn't right, we can't do this, like, there's nothing wrong with him, we know there's nothing wrong with him. And Halsey then cuts Kai out of the channel and orders Riz and Vanek to knock Kai unconscious and handcuff her to a concrete bench in like the break room or whatever.
I figured it out, by the way. I figured out the biggest side effect of the Halo artifact. It makes your body allergic to wearing helmets. That is why every single character, once they touch it, they refuse to wear their helmet anymore. It's the only logical explanation, and I don't think I'm wrong on this one. You got to see my point of view here, because there's no reason.
It definitely feels weird that Kai would just take her helmet off to say, you know, don't do this, like to object. Like it didn't really make much sense.
Left her open.
But after they handcuff Kai to a concrete bench in like their locker break room, then they get into position to ambush John and Maki, while Cortana jams the local communications. Mm-hmm. Cortana is even kind of feeling a little bit like sus about this whole situation.
Not sure about it. Yeah.
So meanwhile, this is happening. Miranda, she's about to they were scheduled to do a test on the artifact with Maki. Right. So she's getting ready to go work on that. And so she's doing one last run on the voice test, because I guess that was the last thing she was going to do. And all of a sudden, it hits her and she figures out, shit. That strange voice that she's been hearing in Sangheili was Maki. Right.
It's a human voice.
Right.
It's a human voice. She realized that, like, it's like, that's, it, it, she, is, you know, it's like, that's not a speech impediment. That's just a different dialect. And it's
different,
like, oh,
different
God.
Jaw shape, different mouth.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, shoot, that's her. So she tries to call her dad, and it's like, oh, nope, comms are down for some weird reason. Gee, I wonder what's going on. So then she immediately just starts sprinting to try to go find her dad and Perengoski.
That's right. Yeah. So yeah, people are running around, shit's going down, things are getting chaotic, and but Maki and John are still kind of casually making their way down to the lab. You know, they're about to go test it on her to find the second artifact. Or they're about to test the first artifact on her to find the second. And they're just making small talk in the elevator, and you know, Maki asks John, like, you know, what do you think is gonna happen when we find the halo and all that. He gives a blunt answer that's very typical of him. You know, just we destroy the Covenant and the war. That's what we do. That's what's going to happen. And Maki seems just insecure about her place in the world. Like, she's not sure what or who she is without the Covenant. She's not sure if she fits in with humans yet. She's not sure if she can live without the Covenant yet. She does feel comfortable around John, though. It's kind of like, as long as you're... That's her only anchor at this point. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, Connor, they've been in each other's brains.
That's true.
And in other places. So, you know, she's still a little unsure, and she's, you know, seeking some comfort. And, you know, she asks, like, well, what happens after that? And, you know, his only answer to that is, I guess we'll see. So, you know, they're walking into an uncertain future, and unfortunately, they're also walking into a trap, which...
a freaking ambush.
Yeah, which Cortana tries to warn John about as they approach the lab. She kind of, like, tries to... She's been in contact with him this whole time, but he's been sort of ignoring her, and, like, he asked her in the last episode or a couple episodes ago to leave him alone.
Well, and Maki doesn't even know who Cortana is, because like, when she's trying to talk to him, he's like, shut up, go away, and she's like, what?
Yeah, Maki doesn't know that John's talking to Cortana, so that probably comes as a surprise to her. But Cortana tries to warn John, like, hey, Zed protocol is in effect. Halsey's, you know, out to get you. You're walking in an ambush. And, you know, at first, John, you know, just tries to ignore Cortana like he's been doing and tell her to go away, but I think at the last second, he realizes, no, she's telling the truth. This is real. And so what he does is he sends Maki to kind of go ahead, like, you know, go the long way around to the lab and, like, you know, kind of get help, go to the lab, I'll hold them off. And so he goes out and sort of confronts Riz and Vanek, you know, I know you're here, let's just get this over with. And, you know, at that point, Halsey's connection to the Spartans goes offline. Like, she can no longer see what's happening.
Yep.
And she and Aiden realize Cortana's betrayed them. Cortana's on John's side, not theirs. So that's a wrinkle in their plan that they didn't account for.
And now comes one of the coolest fight sequences, I think, in this show.
For sure.
Kai is in confinement, and Kai finally wakes up and breaks free.
Mm-hmm.
John is now facing his enemies, who are his teammates.
Right.
And they just keep, you know, they both keep telling each other to just surrender. Like, he's like, guys, just stop, stop, stop. And they keep saying, Chief, just give up. Just let us take you. We don't want to fight. Like, just let us take you. And shit goes down, man. It's a really cool fight. Spartan v. Spartan, Halo 5. Like, let's go. It was actually really well done.
I liked it.
And Cortana starts helping John the best she can. You know, he doesn't have his armor right now. So he's kind of losing the fight. Kind of, he doesn't have his armor. I kind of don't like the fact that the armor is what makes the Spartan at this moment. I think that's kind of lame.
Yeah, he's really not a match for them without his armor.
He is getting his shit rocked. Cortana's helping, and Cortana's like, "I'm gonna take control of that, you know, Warthog. Watch out!" And he jumps out of the way, and she turns it on and slams into Vanek. And then Riz is going to fight, and then he's still fighting, and she's like, you know, get the knee. The knee is the weakest point right now. Hit that knee. And she's giving him, like, a play-by-play of what to do. She's coaching him through the fight because he doesn't have, you know, anything. Maki then is found by the Marine guard, the one who's kind of a jerk to her. And Kai runs around and alerts the base personnel that Halsey's attempting to escape. And is running around and with all the soldiers, and the soldiers kind of swarm the tarmac to prevent Halsey from taking off.
Yeah.
And, you know, John just keeps getting, it's so funny. I made the joke earlier about the helmets thing. He just keeps getting punched in the face repeatedly over and over again.
That's rough.
Thank God at the last second, Kai comes in with like a ninja kick.
Yep.
And then she comes in like ninja fight, and then, it all freezes, and all of a sudden, Riz has a kill shot on John, and Vanek's like, take the shot! Kill him! And I'm like, what the heck? I thought you were supposed to capture him, man! Like, what's going on with this?
Well, they get into, like, this really crazy standoff, like, the four of them. And, like, you have Chief and Kai versus Riz and Vanek now, and it's like a grapple session and, like, all this crazy shit. And so when he says, take that shot, like, it definitely did feel weird, and they do this close-up of Riz, and Riz is like, it's like, Riz is almost like thinking about it.
Yeah, you see her face
and
behind the helmet,
And like, yeah, it's weird. It's kind of like pellet-defying, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the fight kind of gets to a climax where, you know, it could end. It could end with Riz just blowing John's head off if she decides to take the kill shot like Vanek tells her to. But right then we cut away to, you know, the lab where McKee is, you know, urging Perengoski and Keyes to go help John. And it looks like, you know, they might go help him until Miranda shows up and, unfortunately takes away any credibility McKee had by announcing that she was the one, McKee was the one behind the slaughter of the UNSC Gladius. Kind of explains the transmission and how, you know, she's a spy, like she really is a spy, like they suspected, and McKee doesn't deny the accusation. To her credit, she doesn't lie or obfuscate. She just kind of like, she just puts her palms up and says, but I had no choice. Please let me explain. Like, I was kind of a captive of the Covenant. I had to do what they said. But she tries to explain that, you know, she wants to help now. She wants to help the, you know, John and his friends, and she seems genuine about it. Like, she wasn't really being deceptive at that moment, but, or at least it seems to me. But unfortunately, Perengoski's not convinced, doesn't want to hear it, and just orders McKee to be subdued. You know, we have a spy, you know, we've given her enough leeway, it's time to take her down. And so her guard, who, you know, we find out his name is Sergeant Malia, he takes out his stun prod, and he just zaps McKee with it. And it's pretty messed
up. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah, what's especially messed up is that he starts burning the exact same spot that she was scarred in as a child, which just sends her over the edge. It's hard to watch.
It literally resets her back to the hatred that she had before.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's terrible timing for everybody right now for this whole situation. And then we cut to John looking at Riz in the eye and reaches out to her as she lines up the shot. And he says, well, I'd say in the helmet, not the eye, but he says, Riz, it's me. And Riz is hesitating and just doesn't pull the trigger. And we then cut to Maki, and Maki swears vengeance on the humans in the room with her. And because nothing's different with all these trees, with all this stuff, nothing's different. And lunges.
Yeah.
For the artifact. The artifact activates, triggers a shockwave that seems to kind of incapacitate the entire base. Maki's guard, who is still holding onto them, fries and just starts melting. He literally just starts, like, you know, Thanosing Snap away, and it just incapacitates the entire base. And so this, coincidentally, then saves John from his teammates because it sends him on another vision quest to the Halo. And there he sees Maki, who this time doesn't look as cheerful and just kind of looks at him, and standing over him, he's still on the ground. And Maki just kind of says goodbye and is like, that's it, bro. Like, I ain't about your life. And it was just a hit it and quit it. That's it.
It's kind of like, yeah, she's hit a point where John's not worth sticking around for anymore. Like, she's kind of like, I tried helping people, and
I tried to be a good human, and the humans were not good to me.
And unfortunately, I think, you know, at least John deserved a goodbye from her, is how she saw it. But that's pretty much it. Yeah. So it's kind of like a sad low point to end on, with John's team kind of fractured and split in two. Halsey, you know, just really going overboard with her schemes and treachery. Sergeant Malia getting melted. The artifact possibly being stolen by McKee. We don't know. We don't see what happens after the shockwave, unfortunately. So it's a bleak point to end on, though. So things are not going well. That was episode 8, Allegiance.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick break here, but stick around. We'll be right back.
Okay, so we have wrapped up our recap of episode 8, Allegiance, of the Halo series, and let's just, as usual, we'll wrap up with just some stray thoughts and observations. Just off the bat, I like I said at the top, I think this one was really fun. I had a good time. I just felt like the pacing was especially good. You know, just felt like we were skipping along.
Again, you take out the Madrigal stuff, and I think it does flow a lot better.
Even episode 7, Inheritance, which was entirely on Madrigal, I think I talked about this last time, where, you know, when we're not jumping from planet to planet, that really does help the pacing. No matter which kind of arc you're following, I felt like the last Quan and Soren episode was pretty brisk, too. Like this one, like you said, we weren't dragged down by a lot of distractions. It was just skipping along to me, what felt like a really nice penultimate episode. You know, when you're in the second to last episode of a season, there's a certain feeling of reaching a climax that I feel like an episode like that should have. And for me, this episode had that. So I felt good about, you know, what was happening and how it was being portrayed. So yeah, just generally pretty solid. I liked the dialogue a lot in this one too. Like, there were a few just key moments that I really resonated with. Like, Keyes was telling John in the scene in the command room where, you know, John's trying to convince, you know, the brass that McKee can be trusted to test the artifact. And Keyes is not sure. He's not sold on it. And he says, people don't just manually override decades of indoctrination. And John's answer is, I did. So just, you know, there's some just sharp back and forth here and there. And I'll touch on briefly again, the, you know, Halsey indignantly, you know, gasping like, what do you mean he's not alone anymore? He had me. And just Cortana's like delivery, or I gotta say, Jen Taylor's delivery of Cortana's of course, just so like
it's like fucking weird. She's like, you fucking weirdo.
Yeah. Just so
kind of delusional.
Yeah, just the put on discomfort of saying like, yeah, sure, whatever you say.
Sure, Jan.
Otherwise, we touched on Kai being a cool character. I gotta say, yeah, she's quickly becoming a standout to me. Like, I just like her journey of, you know, finding herself and just being so cool and fun. She's just like I would have a beer with Kai, you know, like the Kai from this episode at least, like. She was really fun. Lifting stuff with the Marines was really fun to watch. And her overall arc as John's ride or die, you know, best friend, just has his back.
Yep.
It's starting to really take shape, and that's been enjoyable too.
It's been nice to watch that grow.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Kevin said this fight scene that we had in this episode was sick as hell, and I agree. I not much else to say about it. Just really great choreography. It was just fun to watch. Like the, yeah, Cortana hacking the Warthog and running into Vanek with it. Just the trading blows and
the slapstick.
Yeah, throwing each other around. It was a fun fight. Just really fun to watch. But yeah, lastly, I'll just end on saying that I just feel like this episode showed several character arcs reaching their apexes. You know, like I said, a penultimate episode should show you the ramp up and, like, you know, you're reaching the top of the mountain where you're going to get some conclusion and payoff. And, you know, I think this episode did a great job of that. So I'm just hoping that the season finale capitalizes on that momentum is what I'll end on.
I would have to agree with all that. Yeah. I mean, this is...
Yeah, totally.
I've said before, like, I'm not super sold on this show as, like, a Halo show, but if you separate it and you're just like, hey, this is a new thing, you know, this is it's improving upon what it had previously laid out, I think. And I think it's... This as a lead up to the finale, I think was a pretty powerful, almost ending, if you will.
Absolutely.
I really like the chaos of the whole thing. Like you said, because it's a penultimate episode, like the climax, if you will, I think it was handled really well. I really liked like I said earlier, the bad timing for everything, you know, just as we're telling, you know, everyone, oh, John needs your help. Guess what? We can't trust you now. And it's like, ah, no. And then all of a sudden the artifact's activated. Yeah. And it's like, no. And like everything just went nuts. Halsey is just so delusional now. It's like I look at Halsey, though, and I'm like, I don't see the smartest person in the room. I see somebody who just has massive hubris and doesn't, like, is almost, they think they're too smart. And so they're missing the finer details, and it's causing them problems. I personally think the Halsey from the games would run circles around this Halsey. Just saying.
I think so.
I do too. In terms of strategic planning, that Halsey has like 7 different contingencies. This Halsey just like, I'm the smartest, so therefore I win.
I also think that this Halsey has this complex where, because Cortana was made from my brain, Cortana knows almost exactly what I'm thinking. And it's like, no, you dumb fuck. That's not how this works. And that's kind of how I'm getting a little, like, look, nobody likes Halsey, but I'm kind of getting annoyed at Halsey making mistakes.
Yeah.
Because Halsey doesn't necessarily make mistakes, if that makes sense. And even Miranda says that in one of the episodes when they're getting the artifact, Miranda's like, Halsey doesn't make mistakes unless, you know, it just looks like a mistake. So it just feels, this definitely felt like, no, this was a mistake. This is a big mistake. You underestimated Cortana, you know, caring about John. So that got me.
Yeah.
Kai, look, Kate Kennedy, I now have a crush on. I am so invested in
Kai.
She's
awesome.
It is so badass. And I loved the gambling, you know, the picking the Warthog with the 3 people on it, like that whole thing, showing Kai being just like super strong and kicking ass and enjoying herself with other people, making friends, being goofy, that kind of stuff. Like, I liked that. I thought that was really cool. And again, the journey for John taking his pellet out and Kai and like the regaining your humanity and the different paths they've taken, like John has that companion. So the beginning of his journey is different because he's experiencing these things with another person, if you will, for Cortana.
Yes.
Kai is alone, and Kai didn't really have, like, the most eventful or, I would say, most enlightening experience in the beginning, aside from, you know, dyeing their hair, and then, like, all of a sudden, like, they didn't really get to enjoy it because they had, you know, shell shock, essentially, and all this crazy shit happened, but Kai is having fun. And I think that's really cool to see the different paths that the Spartans are taking, because that's just people. People take different paths. And I think them all taking the same path in the beginning and now taking separate paths, like, it really does show them being human. And I think that's really cool. I loved it. I thought it was great. The fight scene again. Yeah. Yo, that fight scene's sick. I remember watching it being like, yes, keep going. I liked Cortana helping him out. I kind of wish there was more of it. Like, I wish Cortana was kind of coaching him more than just the 2 or 3 times that happened.
Yeah, they had something going there with her, like, blow by blow helping him, and then
it was cool.
Kind of stopped, and I was like, oh man, go do more of that, like the Iron, like Friday helping Iron Man out in Civil War.
Yeah. I think that was a missed opportunity, maybe, but I also think with the whole Maki getting burned and the scar and all that stuff, that scene really got me, because it was kind of showing Maki that, like, no, nothing's changed. Everybody sucks. I don't know if Maki's going to go back to the Covenant or not, because both sides have this bureaucratic bullshit, these assholes that are in charge that are not making great decisions for everybody, that are, you know, hurting others. And kind of both sides have hurt Maki in a way.
I just feel like the Covenant has hurt her less.
Probably.
I agree. But I think Maki realizes that the only reason they didn't hurt them is because they need Maki, because Maki is their, well, key.
Blessed
one.
For the
Halo. So that's the, I think it's, you know, you're a tool. That's all you are. And I don't think Maki likes that. So yeah, I liked the episode. I actually really did like this episode a lot. Mm-hmm. I was sitting there and I was like, best episode, except for like them bumping uglies. Like, look, like, I don't know.
That was
whatever.
Kevin, you're such a prude.
No, I just didn't think it was needed for the story.
Maybe not.
I don't care. Like, if this was like, look, I'm watching the story and I'm fine with it. Like, I genuinely am whatever to.
They want this show to be Game of Thrones. They set out to make this show Paramount's Game of Thrones. That's what it is at the end of the day.
It felt weird and out of place. I'm fine with that happening. It's more just the way it happened felt weird and out of place. It felt like lazy writing. It felt like just do it to do it.
I don't know. I feel like it was built up to. Okay, like, not perfectly, like, it was a little awkward. I did feel like
I think they could have used a couple, maybe like two episodes of them bonding a little more.
But it was like they just met and now it's like, okay, we're gonna go sleep together, and I'm like, come on, really?
He brought,
that doesn't work in real life. This ain't Tinder,
bro. He brought her favorite book. Okay, like, if that doesn't do it, what does?
All right, look, you know, I'll be real. I did that with my wife. She's a librarian. She got a bookstagram. Like, I get it, but
I'm kidding. But
like, I don't know. They just met. It just felt weird. She's literally a prisoner. She's a prisoner of war that, like, is obviously they don't trust. It has been manipulating them to a degree, and they know it. And I'm sorry, but if you don't see that fucking finger sword, you're an idiot. But I don't understand the flow doesn't make sense to me.
For me, I'll give you, it maybe felt unexpected, maybe felt not completely earned. I can understand all that, but just for me, like, these are two people who've felt alone their entire lives, and then suddenly they don't feel alone, and they're both dealing with emotions they haven't felt before. They're both dealing with you know, these feelings that I get it. Like, I get how you could see it's, you know, awkward, but like, for me, I was there with them in the room, you know, emotionally. I'm like, I get it. Like,
whoa, not, okay. All right, Connor. Whoa.
Emotionally.
Whoa.
Like Cortana watching in a window. I was there.
You and Cortana, huh? No, say it.
Well, no, it's just, I get it. I can see how it would happen in the moment. You know, like, I think the story of these characters that was told over the last few episodes was, you know, like Cortana said, they don't feel alone anymore. And, you know, when you feel close to someone, that kind of thing tends to happen. It can happen. So, yeah, it's a lot of people harvested plenty of clicks on this when this episode dropped. And Halo Chief, Master Chief lost his virginity, you know, it became a headline farm very quickly.
You know, Connor, you actually got me thinking just now, because when you said that Cortana sees them and says they're not alone. But now I kind of am thinking about Cortana, because Cortana, when she says that to her, now she's alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's sad.
I know where he's going with this.
If you look, no, seriously, if you look at Cortana when she says this stuff, she's sad. And I'm not saying she's in love with Chief, blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying that shit. I'm saying is, I think when, obviously, she was created, she's, you know, she's newly alive, if you will, conscious. But now she had a companion off the bat. She had Master Chief, and then she was already, But now it kind of feels
a companion
like,
who hated him, but a companion nonetheless.
Yeah, and, but he shunned her, and now she's alone, and all she's doing is just remedial tasks for Halsey. And it's like when she says they're not alone anymore, but now she is. And I think that that is. I want to see more Cortana stuff. Like, I want to see what's going to happen with Cortana this episode, this next episode. I'm very, very, I'm hyped. I'm hyped, man.
Yeah, there's a lot that the finale episode coming up will hopefully just execute on and follow up on. Looking forward to that. Well, that about wraps it up. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us grow the show. And be sure to connect with us on Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter at lore_party. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.